Good morning. Today's Daf and Tana is Zayin. We are in the very bottom of Tes Zayin Amud Beis. We are starting at the two dots, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. It's two lines from the bottom. Continuation here now in the second parak of the Masechta in Tanis, in the second parak. So we went over Seder Tanios. So the opening Mishnah, which is really all the Mishnahs front loaded in the parak, went through us exactly what the procedure is going to look like on a fast day, notably during round three. Round number three, where we've already covered two rounds of fasting Monday, Thursday, Monday. And in round number three, there's still no rain in. The fast days are now intensifying. They're at the most intense, and the fast days are going to not only be 24-hour fast days and not only include all the inuim as well, but a special tefillah. The tefillah is going to be taken outside of the shul into the street, and a special Shmona Esrei. Shmona Esrei is going to be highlighted by six additional brachos. The Mishnayos go through all the six additional brachos that are going to be said. Machlokas Tanaim, exactly what the six brachos are going to be based on, meaning with the themes of the six brachos. It's going to be starting immediately after Goel Yisrael. That's the seventh bracha of Shmona Esrei. So you're going to be adding an additional six brachas into the Shmona Esrei, making for a total of 24 brachas of Shmona Esrei. That's 6 plus 18. There's also going to be Tkiya Shofar during these extra six brachas of Shmona Esrei. So we heard about that in the Mishnah, that's 2 days ago. And yesterday, also in some more detail, the Brisas covered this terrain. If you will look carefully over here, so you will note in the Mishnah, Machlokas between the Tanaim, exactly what the themes are of the six brachos. According to the Tana Kama, so the first two brachos are thematically going to be following Zichronos and Shofros. Okay, and Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah disagrees. So, and Rabbi Yossi says, no, you're gonna take it out. I'm sorry, I said Rabbi Yossi. I want to check that and correct it. It's not Rabbi Yossi, but rather it's Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, and Rabbi Yehuda said you would not do the themes of Zichronos v'Shofros, but he still kept the number at six, so therefore he replaced it with an additional two prakim in Tanakh. Anyway, the Gemara, we're going to start the Gemara's discussion right away. Two lines from the bottom, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer lo hayu tzarech lomar Zichronos, Amar Rav Ada d'minyafa maitamid Rabbi Yehuda. So what's the svar behind the shita of Rabbi Yehuda? Lefi shein omrim Zichronos v'Shofros, Ela brosh hashanah v'yavlos v'shas mechama. So the Gemara gives a straightforward explanation behind the sheet of Rav Yehuda. Zichronos and Shofros are just limited to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Shas Melchama and at wartime as well. Meaning that there are specific times designated for the saying of Zichronos and Shofros, and a fast day is just simply not one of them. Okay, that's a simple and straightforward svara. Now, certainly we all know that Zichronos and Shofros, so that is on Rosh Hashanah, meaning the fourth parak of the Masechta, which we covered pretty recently in the Daf, so extensively covers how that marks the two of the three central brachas of Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. So that we know. And when we're talking about Yom Kippur, when the Gemara over here mentions Yom Kippur, actually the Gemara doesn't mention Yom Kippur, it mentions Yovel, but Yovel, of course, we know, is the Yom Kippur of the Yovel year, which again is going to be highlighted by Machios, Zichronos, and Shofros. The Gemara does also add Shas Melchama. Now that kind of comes a little bit out of left field, meaning that Shas Melchama, so in wartime, so we're going to be doing Machios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Now, who said this? Where did that come up? So that's a bit of a mystery. And this mystery is supported by Rashi. Rashi, Vishas Melchama, Dechse, Vechitzavon, Melchama, Barzachem, Alatzar, Tzarei, Azchem. So first of all, Rashi does quote the Psukim in Parshas Baloscha, where we know certainly that there's this idea that you blow shofar during wartime, meaning that is a, right, it's a call to arms, so to say. So that we know, and it's also a cry to Kadosh Baruch Hu for assistance. So that part we know. But the idea that we're davening also, machiz zichronos for shofars during wartime. So Rashi writes, v'lo yadinan, mana is parish to omer berachos psuke machiz zichronos for shofars v'shas mechama. But in terms of actually going over this particular Shmona Esrei during wartime, so Rashi says, I don't know. I don't have a source for that. Okay, so obviously I'll align myself with Rashi, and so I don't have a suggestion in terms of where that comes up, but the Gemara over here makes reference to it. We continue in the Gemara. We are at the two lines from the top in Yezayin Amad Aleph, today's daf. Al HaRishonah Hu Omer Mishanas Avraham Tani Yesh Machlifim Tza'aka L'Aliyahu Tfila L'Shmuel. Okay, so as a really technical point, so some have a girsa where they switch around Sa'aka for Eliyahu and Tfila for Shmuel. Okay, so it's a detail. So Bishlam Agabi Shmuel Ksiv Bei Tfila Ksiv Bei Sa'aka. So the Gemara says, so I know by that by Shmuel. So there are psukim that reference tefillah, and there's psukim that reference sa'aka as well. See Rashi for that discussion. Elagabi Eliyahu. But when as far as Eliyahu is concerned, tefillah ksiv, sa'aka lo ksiv. So you'll go through the entire Tanakh regarding Eliyahu, and you're not going to find tzaka. So in other words, so if the psukim and Tanakh do not support this nusach, so why would the Braisa say that some people flip it around? So the Gemara says, "Anenu Hashem, Anenu Lashem Tzakahu." So even though we don't see the word tzaka as it relates to Eliyahu Hanavi, but the Anenu Hashem Aneni, that's tzaka. Now the repeated language of please. Akash Baruch Hu, answer me. So that's analogous. It's tantamount to actually saying the word Sa'aka. Fine. Alashishis who Omer Mishanas Yona. Alashvis who Omer Mishana is David. So Michti. So the Gemara now is going to be bothered by a simple question. And before we get to the Gemara's question, let's review. Meaning that there are, now I know this is a little bit confusing. There are six additional brachos, but there really are seven. Because if you recall, Goel Yisrael got a lot of padding. There was a lot of hosafa to the bracha of Gol Yisrael. So when the Mishnah actually counted out the brachas, so it counted out Gol Yisrael. It's not an additional bracha, but it did get padded. And so therefore, it's counted as one of the, now not six, but one of the seven, right? Six additional plus Gol Yisrael. So if you recall back in the Mishnah, so the Mishnah now goes through what is going to be the theme of each one of them. And I'm just now going to highlight the historical reference point of each of the seven. Meaning, I'm going back to the Mishnah and Tezvav. I'm not rereading the Mishnah, but I'm just highlighting. So number one, Misha Anas Avraham Bahar Amoria. Okay, good. And by the way, according to the Chachamim, that aligns with Zichronos. Good. Then, right? I made this mistake also before. No, the Zichronos only starts at number two. Okay, in other words, it's Gol Yisrael. Okay, sorry. And then number two is Misha Nasav Asin Al Yamsuf. Okay, so in other words, so historically we're moving forward. So we started with Avram Avinu. Now we're at the Yitzias Mitzrayim. Good, that's number two. Number three, Misha Nas Yehoshua B'Gilgal. Okay, good. So now we're at the Tkufa of Yehoshua. So far, so good. Chronologically going in order. Then number four is Shmuel B'Mitzvah. Okay, good. The Navi Shmuel. Last of the Shoftim. And then Eliyahu Bahar Carmel. Okay, so far so good. Now, that was number one, two, three, four, five. That was number five. Number six, Yonah B'mei Hadaga. Okay, so Yonah's in the fish. And then finally, number seven is David Veshlamo. Okay. So already, without even reading the Gemara, so already you figured out that what just happened is that number seven, we took a big step backwards chronologically. Okay, good. So now, with that stated, so now we go to our Gemara. So I'm just reading the heading again. Alashishis Omer Mishanas Yona. Alashishis Omer Mishanas David. Mechti Yona Basa David Ushlamahu. So the Gemara says, so historically Yona comes after David and Shlomo. Yona is historically, right, in the Navi itself. It's a short Navi. We read it every year. And the Mincha and Yom Kippur. So there is no real historical reference point. However, we do know, we have a Mesorah, that Yona comes basically at the same time as Melech Amatzia. All right, Amatzia, if you want another historical reference point, so he was a brother with Amots, and Amots is the father of Yishayahu. Okay, so we're now drawing towards the end of Bayis Rishon. Okay, that's historically where Yonah is at. Now, considering that, the question is obvious. So David and Shlomo are at the very beginning of Bayis Rishon, so we'll call that now a problem. So that's the problem. So my time, Amakim Leberesha. So the Gemara says, so why? So why then are we going to be putting Yonah in front of David and Shlomo? So the Gemara's answer is, Mishum Dabai Lamech Merachim Al Ha'aretz. The Gemara says, yeah, but it's going to fit in with the theme of Merachim Al Ha'aretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have compassion on the land of Israel, and that fits in better with David and Shlomo. Why? Because David and Shlomo built the base of Mikdash, right? David laid the foundation, Shlomo actually built it. So since we know, in other words, working backwards, since we know the Chasima is going to be Merachim Al Ha'aretz, and since the land of Eretz Yisrael is going to be highlighted by the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, so that's why, even though chronologically it's out of order, nevertheless, that's why we'll give that up, meaning we'll lose the chronology, but at least now it's going to be fitting better with the themes of the Chasimas HaBrachas. Tanya, we learned on a Braisa, Misham Simchos, Amru Baruch Mashbel HaRamim. Okay, and in the Braisa, a slightly different version of what the Chasim is going to be, that he was, Akash Baruch Hu is lowering those that are elevated, meaning he humbled us by it not raining. Okay, Shal Chani Yasa Rishados Anshe Mishmar Metanim Velo Mashlimim Tan Rabbanan. Mimnei Ma'amru Anshe Mishmar Mutam Lishos Yain Balelos Avalo B'yamim. So why is it that the Anshe Mishmar can drink wine at night but not during the day? Let's refresh, let's recall what we learned together. Okay, the Kohanim are broken up into 24 Mishmaros. Each one of the Mishmaros are going to be working a week in the Beis HaMikdash. As the Mishmar goes to the Beis HaMikdash, they're going to be subdivided into six Batei Avos. Each one of the Batei Avos are going to be working a day of that week. So Sunday through Friday, so 6 days of the week in which they're working the Beis HaMikdash. So it's really each of the Mishmaros are subdivided, so only a portion of the Mishmar is going to be working, notably the Beis Av. Then when you get to Shabbos, the entire Mishmar recongregates, and the entire Mishmar is working over the course of that Shabbos. Good, that's the system that's set up. We also learned in our Mishnah, B'derech Agav, that when you're in the Beis HaMikdash, so during that week, so if you're a member of the Mishmar of that week, so you can't drink wine during the day. Even if it's not your day, meaning it's only a sixth of the Mishmar that's working each day, but still, where are you? You're in the bullpen. So, and you may get called up, meaning there might be a lot of avoda being done that day. It's going to overload the base av that's working that day. And so you may get called up. In other words, you're part of the Mishmar. And so therefore you can't be drinking during the day. However, what you can do is you could drink night. Now, the way Rashi explained night, Rashi said night means the following night, meaning not the previous night, but the following night. So that you're allowed to drink. If you're a member of the Mishmar, but not a member of the Beis Av. If you're a Beis Av, you cannot drink, period. Not during the day, not the subsequent night as well. But if you're a member of the Mishmar, you can drink at night. Now, Rashi, I'm going over what we saw, what we already saw together, why you're allowed to drink at night. So if you're a member of the Beis Mishmar, I'm sorry, if you're a member of the Anshe Mishmar, so Rashi explains that because at nighttime, there's not a lot of avodah to be done. Meaning, the avodah is done during the day. At night, what do you have? So you have Hector, Chalav, and Ve'evarim, right? The burning of the limbs and the fats. Okay, it's basically you're flipping over the meat on the barbecue, right? So to say, and not so to say. That's what you're doing. It's just instead of a barbecue, it's a mizbech. So the so that's not a lot. And Rashi points out is that if you're a member of the Mishmar, you could just simply look on the mizbech and see, is there a lot? Is there not a lot? In other words, by nighttime, you'll already gauge whether or not you're going to get called or you're not going to get called to help out. Good. So as a member of the Anshe Mishmar, so you could drink at night, but during the day, who knows? Meaning during the day, everybody, right, all hands on deck. Now the Beis Av are going to be working, but you could be called up. So during the day, you're not allowed to drink. Good. So that's what we went over before. And now the Gemara, the Braisa is going to be teaching us the following. So Mimnei Ma'amru, I'm restarting from the beginning of the Braisa. I should have introduced beforehand. Anyway, Mimnei Ma'amru Anshe Mishmar Mutam L'Shos Yayim B'Leilos Avolo B'Yamim Shema Tichabed Avoda. Because there might be more avoda. It literally may weigh us down. So al anche beisav yavov v'yesayu lahem, and you're going to be called as a member of that particular mishmar to help out. So mimnei ma'amr anche beisav lo b'yom v'lo b'layla. Now the anche beisav cannot be drinking not during the day, not the following night. Mimishen asukim tamid b'avoda, because they're going to be involved with the avoda, meaning they're actually doing the avoda. Mikan amru kol kohen shemakir mishmato mishmaros beisav shelo v'yodeh shebatei avosav kvuim sham. Also, lishtos yain kol oso hayam. Kol oso hayam. So let's say now, mikan amru. From here, the rabbi said the following. Now, let's say you're a kohen. Okay? Furthermore, let's say not only are you kohen, but you know your yichus really well. Meaning you could trace yourself back to a particular mishmar. In fact, you can even trace yourself back to not only a particular mishmar, you know which base of you are within that mishmar. Okay? It pretty much goes without saying that unfortunately, the kohen nowadays cannot trace back that yichus that far back, to the best of my knowledge. Haven't met a kohen who can go that far back. But ilu yitzu, had it been that's in fact the case, so now also lishtos yain kol oso ayam. So now you'd not be allowed to drink wine on that day. Meaning, even though we are without a Beis HaMikdash, but in the event that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built really quickly, and you remember Rashi back in Rosh Hashanah. Rashi at the end of Rosh Hashanah says that the third Beis HaMikdash is going to just drop down and it presents itself nearly immediately. Okay, that was it's based on the sugya at the end of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Anyway, so it's possible. So therefore, the Kohanim have to be in a state of preparedness. And therefore, if you know where your Mishmar is, so you know which week in theory you would be working, so you're not allowed to drink during that week. And if it's during that Beisav, you're not allowed to drink on that day. So, B'makir Mishmar Tov, V'in Makir Mishmar Beisav. Let's say you're pretty good with your Yichus. You know your Mishmar, you just don't know your Beisav. So, V'yodeh Shabbat Yavos Afuim Sham, Asa L'shos Yan Kol Osur Shabbos. So you're not allowed to drink that whole week because you know which week you're working, but you don't know which day of the week you're working. So again, you have to be in a state of preparedness for that entire week. Therefore, you can't drink that whole week. So Eino Makir Mishmato Mishmeres Beisav Shelo V'yodeh Shabbat Yavosav Kvuim Sham. So let's say that you don't know your Mishmar. You don't, and so it goes without saying, you don't know the Beisav within that Mishmar. So Lishtos Yain Kol Hashana. So now, when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, you may be called up immediately at any given point in time, meaning because you don't know which Mishmar you belong to, and so therefore the conclusion is that you're not allowed to drink, period. So right now, the Gemara is at the point where Kohanim Bizmanazeh are not allowed to drink, because maybe Mehera Yibana Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash will be built immediately, and you're going to be put to do the Avoda. And if you are drunk, you can't do the Avoda. Doing the Avoda while you're drunk, as we're going to be discussing later in today's daf, is a significant Isser in the Torah, subject to a Chiyuv Misa, is Mechalal the Avoda. Right, it's, to put it simply, it's bad. And so therefore, the Kohanim are not allowed to drink. Now, I don't know if you know any Kohanim. We happen to have one in this room right now. So is that true? Meaning Kohanim, right? Every time at a Kiddush, a Kohen's going to be like, no, I can't drink, I'm sorry. Right? With the Beis HaMikdash may be built, I may be needed to do the Avoda. So we don't know of such Kohanim. So it's because of the next line of the Gemara. So Rabbi Omer, Omer Ani Asur Lishtos Yain La'olam. So Rabbi says that it is prohibited to drink wine under all times for the Kohanim. Avama Eseh Shetakanto Kil Kalaso. But Rabbi says, but look, what are we going to do? What are we supposed to do? But what are we supposed to do? Shetakanto Kil Kalaso. Okay, so a couple things over here. A couple of really interesting points by Rashi. Rashi writes over here the following. First of all, when Rebbe says that really fundamentally they should not be drinking, the way Rashi understands Rebbe's comment is that Rebbe is basically arguing on all the points that the Braisa made previously. Meaning, let's say you are a Kohen and you know your Mishmar. Let's even say you know your Beis Av. Still, you can't drink. Why? Because when the Beis HaMikdash is built, who's to say they're going to keep the original Mishmaros? Right? The Mishmaros are simply an arrangement. There's nowhere in the Torah that says that you're part of this Mishmar and you're going to be working. The Mishmar is just simply a system which organizes the Kohanim so that they're going to be working a specific week. But when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, even if you know your Mishmar, this is Rashi's understanding of Rebbe, even if you know your Mishmar, still, they may reshuffle the whole deck. So therefore, you have to be in a state of on-call. That's Rashi's understanding of Rebbe's comment on the first part of Rebbe's comment. Now, what about the second part of Rebbe's comment? So Rashi writes the following. But Rebbe says, but no, what are we going to do? The fact that this is Rashi's understanding of Rebbe's second comment. The fact that we haven't had a Beis HaMikdash for so long now, and by the way, Rebbe wasn't that long after Churban Beis HaMikdash, right? Rebbe was at the end of the second century. Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, 70 of the common era, a little over 100 years. Okay, but nevertheless, since it's been so long since we've been without a Beis HaMikdash, so therefore, this is just simply not a concern that the Kohanim have to operate with. Okay. And Rashi, right, I want to read the Rashi inside because it's really, I want to be really careful about how I say this over. Dave Kamashanim, I'm reading the Rashi. It's four lines down after it gets wine. Dave Kamashanim Shalochazra Bira. So there's been many years now without a Beis HaMikdash. Vilkilkala Zuta Kanaso Lishtos Yayin Beheja. Uleshema Yibana Lo Chayshinan. Right? We're not worried that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built all that quickly. Okay, now, that's really difficult, right, as I read it, and it's a difficult explanation of Rashi, meaning, but it certainly sounds like what Rebbe's saying, but the idea that, oh, don't worry, the Beis HaMikdash is not going to be built all that quickly, it's very hard to entertain, meaning, we just finished the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. We went over a number of takanas, Rav Yochanan and Zakkai, where all those takanas were specifically for the purpose of, you know, the Beis HaMikdash may be built. Okay. And obviously, there is a way to distinguish between all the takanas of Yochanan and Zakkai versus what we're learning right now. Meaning that over there, we were talking about the Jewish people in mass hoping and praying and wanting the Beis HaMikdash to be built. Over here, we're talking about specific behavior of the Kohanim in which they have to abstain from wine every single day of the year because the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. I recognize the fact that there is an ability to distinguish between the two. But anyway, that's Rashi's understanding of Rebbe's comment over here. Amar Abaye, and finally Abaye arrives at a conclusion. We're back in the Gemara. Kaman Shasta, why didn't a Kohane Chamra? You know, Kohanim drink wine, meaning they do. Bizman Azeh. So Abaye says that it's based on Kerebi. Oh, it's going on. They're basing themselves on the sheet of Rebbe. Meaning it is a bit of a Chiddush. Meaning, I guess Abaye is just simply noting, he's observing. If you think about it, in other words, it really is a machlokes between the Chachamim and Rebbe and the Braisa. Generally speaking, when you have a machlokes between the Rabbim and the Yachid, so what do we normally do? We follow like the sheet of the Rabbim. Meaning, okay, Abaye is just simply noting, thank you. Abaye is just simply noting that the Kohanim avail themselves to the position of Rebbe. Is he endorsing it? Sounds that way? Not totally clear. But anyway, obviously, that's the minhag. Minhag is that the Kohanim do, in fact, drink Bizman Azam. Anshe Mishmar v'anshe Maimed Asrum L'Sapu L'Chabetz B'Chamishi Mutar Mimnei Kavod HaShabbos. Mutar Mimnei Kavod HaShabbos. So, if you're the members of Anshe Mishmar and Anshe Maimed, so you cannot get a haircut until Thursday. Because Thursday, obviously, there's an issue of Kavod Shabbos. So, my time, Amar Rabba Bar Chanan, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kedei Shelo Yikantzel Mishmarim K'Sheim U'Nuvalim. So over here, a svara that we're going to hear a couple times here at the end of Moed. We're going to hear it right now. We're going to hear it again in Moed Katan. And that's the idea. That if we told people that they're allowed to get a haircut, so what they're going to do is they're going to procrastinate. We are creatures of procrastination, right? It's something that we all excel in. And so therefore, if told, oh, you know what? Before Yontov, you're fine. You don't get a haircut before Yontov. You get one during Chol HaMoed. So that's what we're all going to do. And then we would all go into Yontov disheveled. And similarly over here, if we told the Anshe Mishmar, don't worry, you can get a haircut on the first or second day of your Mishmar. So they're all going to come in disheveled. So once they slap a prohibition not to get a haircut during the week of Mishmar, so it's going to force them to get a haircut beforehand. Okay. Tana Rabbana. Melech Mestaper Bechol Yom, Kohen Gadol Me'erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, and Kohen Hedjot, Echel L'Shoshim Yom. Okay, so now we're going to go over the barbering schedules, right, of various dignitaries. We're going over a king, Kohen Gadol, and a Kohen Hedjot. So a king is going to be receiving a haircut every single day. Okay? Melech Mestaper Bechol Yom, Maitam, Amar Rabbi Abba, Bar Zavda, Amakra, Melech B'Yaf Yav, Techazena Einecha. Okay, Pasuk Yishayahu. Basically, the king has to be of the finest appearance every single day. Okay. Pasuk doesn't say every single day, but in other words, whenever people see him, and he is a public figure, which means that it's going to be every day, so he has to be of the best appearance every day. Okay, good. Pasuk and Navi. Kohen Gadol Me'erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, my Tama, Erev Shomor, Bar Yitzchak, Ho Mishmars Miskachos. Now, the Gemara here gives a really straightforward and simple svara why Kohen Gadol should be getting a haircut every single week. Because at the beginning of every week, what is he going to be doing? He's going to be meeting the new Mishmar. You only have one chance. I know it's cliche. I know it is. But you only have one chance to make a first appearance. Okay, so good. So now he's meeting the Mishmar for the first time at the beginning of every week. By the way, the beginning really means Shabbos, meaning the new Mishmar starts working halfway through Shabbos, right? The old Mishmar retires halfway through Shabbos. The new Mishmar takes over halfway through Shabbos, and the Lechem HaTamid is split between the two, six loaves to one, six loaves to the other, incoming, outgoing. Okay, we've gone over this point numerous times. So anyway, so what comes out over here is that the Kohen now is going to be meeting the new Mishmar. Right, they definitely have arrived prior to Shabbos, right? So he's meeting them sometime, either right before Shabbos or over the course of Shabbos. So that means to say that he needs to look presentable when he meets them. Therefore, a haircut every week. Now, what about a Kohen Hedjot? So Kohen Hedjot achad l'shoshim yom. So once every 30 days, a Kohen Hedjot needs to get a haircut. Now minalan asya peripera minazir. So the Gemara says it's based on gzer shava from nazir. Okay, now, it's an interesting Gezeirah Shavah. It's a curious Gezeirah Shavah because it's connecting a pasuk in Chumash to a pasuk in Navi, specifically that in Yecheskel. In the Torah itself, it never discusses that a Kohen has to be groomed, and the Kohen needs to have, it cannot have his hair all over the place. Okay, so, And later the Gemara is going to comment on that, right? The end of today's daf, so that will make its way into the Gemara. That observation. So I'm just that's called a foreshadow on my part. Okay. Now, what the Gzeirah Shavah is telling us is that whatever a Nazir is told, you know, let your hair go wild. So the Kohen is supposed to do just the opposite, right? That wild, that pera. So no, don't let your hair do that. So, Mala Halan Shloshim, Afkan Shloshim. Now, when we say for the Nazir, let your hair go wild, so what does that mean? What's wild hair? So, for a Nazir, it's going to be 30 days. How do I know that? Because Stam Nazirus Shloshim Yom. Now, V'Nazir Gufi Minalan, Amar Rav Masna, Stam Nazirus Shloshim Yom, Minalan, Amar Kra, Yia B'Gamatria Talsin Have. So, it's a Gamatria. Okay? I think the only time in all of Shas where a halach is derived through a Gamatria. Right, the Torah and Chumash, right, he loves his gematrias. So if you go through the, if they go through the Bala Torah and Chumash, so you're going to see one gematria after another. And they're right, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos describes it as parparosa Torah, right? It's desserts, right? It's sweet, it's good, right? But in other words, to generate a halacha, so under almost all circumstances, it's not going to do it. And this is a notable exception where you have a gematria, which is generating a halacha. Okay. And
why can't the para be used for Kohen Gadol? Why the Kohen Gadol? They're very similar, the Nazir and the Kohen Gadol.
If you look in the context in Yecheskel, so it sounds like we're talking about the Kohanim, not just the Kohen. Right? V'rosham lo yigalechu, ufer lo yishalechu. Right? So it's a Lashon Rabbim. Certainly sounds like the Kohanim in general. Okay, so the Yiyah is coming to tell me that you take the Gamacha of Yiyah, it's 30. So Stam Nazir is 30 Yom, so 30 days. So that means to say that a growth of 30 days, right, a growth that exceeds 30 days, that's wild. So for a Nazir, that's what you're supposed to do. For a Kohen, that's what you're not supposed to do. Meaning, before it gets to that point in time, so cut it off. So Amalera, Papala, Baivadamachi, Kamarachmana. So the Gemara says, well, why can't we suggest the following? Lo Lirbu, Klau. Meaning when the Pasuk says, V'rosham lo yigalechu, fer lo yishalechu. So maybe that means that don't even come close to that point. Meaning, forget 30 days. Meaning, any kind of extra growth is to be cut off. Meaning, the Kohanim should be getting a haircut more frequently. So Amarleh. So this, in response, he says, "Ihavaksiv lo yishalechu pera." Don't let it get wild. So maybe I agree with you. If that's the construct of the pasuk, but kid de kamart. So yeah. So then you're right. But how should dechsi? But now that it says uperlo yishalechu perlehave shluchehu delo lishlachu. So so once it gets to the point of para of wildness, so then that's something that the kohanim are to get rid of. Okay. So in other words, based on the construct of the pasuk, so it comes to tell me that it's only when you get to the point of 30 days. It's at that point that it would be a prohibition. Yachi afilo ayna nami. So the gemara says, okay. So much like we discussed moments earlier, for right, Kohanim shouldn't be drinking nowadays. Rebbe allows it. So, but Kohanim also shouldn't be letting their hair grow wild, meaning all of our Kohanim should be getting haircuts once a month, at least once a month. Okay? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, Dumya de Shesuye Yayin. Gemara says it's really similar to Shesuye Yayin. Ma Shesuye Yayin bezman bia, hu da aser shlo bezman bia shari, af hachanami. So the Gemara says, well, the Shesuye Yayin is only when they're going to the base of Mikdash. Same thing with the long hair. So the Hatani, we learned in the Brisa, Rabbi Omer Ani Kohanim Asum L'Shos Yain La'Olam Ava Ma Eseh Shetakanto Kilkolaso V'Amar Rabbi Kaman Shasu Aina Kohani Chamer K'Rabbi. So the Gemara says, look, we learned this morning in today's daf that there's an allowance given by Rabbi for the Kohan to drink wine, because again, for us to say that because the Beis HaMikdash can be built at any point in time, we're not gonna prohibit Kohanim to drink wine. Rabbi gives an allowance for Kohanim to drink wine. Bismanazeh. So maybe Rebbe would say the same thing regarding the Kohanim and their hair. Meaning maybe that the Rebbe would just simply say, okay, so they can let their hair grow. Meaning we don't have to govern their behavior just because the Beis HaMikdash may be built. So the Gemara says, Michlal Durabanan Asrei. Now the Gemara points out we're on the top of Amud Beis. Okay, so we do know the Sheet of Rebbe, but as noted earlier this morning, but we also know that the Chachamim argue. My time, I'm a hairy Yabana Beis HaMikdash, be in and Kohen Arul Avod Valeika. So, Hacha, I'm sorry. So the reason why the Chachamim argue is because the Beis HaMikdash can be built at any point in time, and we need the Kohanim to be prepared. To which the Gemara says, just give me 1 second. To which the Gemara says, Valeika, Hacha Efshar Demisapir Va'ayo. So the Gemara says, even according to the Chachamim, the fact that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built and we should be concerned about it, does not necessarily have to govern their schedule of haircuts. Why? Because consider, let's say the Beis HaMikdash is built overnight, right? Like Rashi says in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, right? It dropped down from the skies. It was built overnight. Okay, so as a Kohen, even as you're immediately called in to do the avoda, so you run and you get a haircut. That's all. Meaning, so the solution is a really simple solution, and it can be done right in just minutes.
Aren't we all talking me? So
Tosus asked your question. I'll come back to that. I'll tell you what Tosus says in just a moment. So the so v'leka hacha efshar de mesaper v'ayel ihachi shesu yainama inami efshar de gani port v'ayel. So the Gemara says, oh, so if you're talking about quick fixes, so isn't there a quick fix for intoxication? I know everyone here is thinking, I don't think so. But right now, the Gemara is suggesting that there is a quick fix for intoxication. Right? If you are inebriated, so what you do is you walk it off, right? Walk 1 mil and you're good. Or take a small nap and you're good. So the Gemara, next part of the Gemara is intuitive, and the Gemara makes exactly the point. So when do you walk it off? And when can you just take a quick nap? That's only if you drank exactly a revius of wine. So now you are just above the limit, but just above the limit. So there, to drop you now to where you are under the limit, that you could just take a quick walk. You can take a short nap. But if you drink more than a revius, so kol shekein shederech matridaso v'sheina mishkarto. It's what you and I call a hangover, meaning sleeping is not going to help you, and neither is a short walk. It is not a quick fix to resolve the inebriation. Oh, okay, fine. So the Gemara points out that even if we follow like the sheet of the Chacham and not the sheet of Rebbe, we can make a really clear and easy distinction between haircuts and inebriation. When it comes to inebriation, there is no quick fix. When it comes to haircuts, there is a quick fix. So that could very well be a really simple way to distinguish between haircuts and inebriation. Ben, I didn't forget about you. Just give me another moment. There's no mitzvah in the Torah to have payos. It's a minug. I don't know. Maybe Kohanim can't have them. I really don't know. Ravashi Amar Shesu Yam Demachli Avoda Gazer Behu Rabbanan Puri Rosh Lo Machli Avoda Lo Gazer Behu Rabbanan. The Gemara makes another distinction, another possible distinction, and that would be the following. This is Ravashi. In other words, what we're trying to do is understand why Shesu Yain, according to the Chachamim, the Kohanim cannot drink Bismanazeh, but when it comes to a haircut, a Kohen can let his hair grow longer. Even the Chachamim are not worried about that. Why? So what the Gemara now is suggesting as an answer is maybe there's a difference to be made between, look, if you are inebriated and doing the avoda under the influence, so the avoda that you've done is michulal, no good. The avoda has been profaned, and everything that you did as a Kohen in terms of the avoda has to be redone. However, let's say you happen to go in doing the avoda with longer locks, right? You see, you have long hair. Is that going to be Mechal of the Avoda? So what Rav Ashi is suggesting is no. No, it's not going to be Mechal of the Avoda. To which the Gemara says, is that true? Meisvei. The Gemara challenges. Elu she'en b'misa shesu yainu p'rei rosh. Doing the Avoda while under the influence. Doing the Avoda while having long hair. So the Braisa tells us, it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. So the Braisa says that both are subject to Misa b'dei Shemayim. Okay. Now, bishlam shesu yain b'ajik sipahu yain v'shech alteish. So the Gemara says, now, if you look in the psukim in Parshat Tzav, as it relates to drinking, so is it Tzav or is it Acharimos? Okay, sorry. If you look in the psukim, so it says that a Kohen is not allowed to drink, and the Gemara doesn't quote it, but immediately thereafter, Atau Vanecha Velo Samusu, and you shouldn't die. And when the Torah says Misa, and it's not specific in terms of what kind of death we're talking about. We're talking about Misa B'dei Shemayim. Okay. So we know, the Pasuk in the Torah tells us that doing the Avodah while under the influence is subject to Misa B'dei Shemayim. Ela Pruri Rosh Minalam. But how do I know about doing the Avodah while having long hair? How do we know that also is Misa B'dei Shemayim? Dichsiv. V'rosham lo yigalechu fer lo yishalechu. So uksiv basrei v'yain lo yishtu kol kohen b'vom alachatzer apanimis. Ah, so a pasuk in Yecheskel. And again, I'll just simply note and foreshadow, it is a pasuk in Yecheskel. It's not a pasuk in Chumash. But the itkish v'rei rosh hashisru yayin, but we have over here what's called a hekesh. So contiguous, one right to the other, is the iser of drinking and the iser of having long hair. So mash hashisru yayin b'misa, v'rei rosh b'misa. So now, since the pasuk in Yecheskel makes a hekesh between the two, so just like doing the avoda while under the influence of subject to misa b'dei shamayim, so too is doing the avoda while having long hair, subject to misa b'dei shamayim. Okay, that's step one. Now we move on to step two, umina, and then let's just take it from there. Imash yisui yain demachli avoda, apri rosh demachli avoda. So now, if while doing the avoda under the influence is going to be mechalel, it'll profane, meaning anything that you have done has to be redone. All your avoda does not check out. So the same thing is going to be true when you're doing the avoda while having long hair, meaning the hekesh should go all the way. Now, where the Gemara ends at this point in time is a little bit unclear. We do have more Gemara, but you see it's in parentheses. The same sugya that is found in the Gemara in Sanhedrin ends off the discussion right over here with basically a shoulder shrug. In fact, everybody takes out the next lines of the Gemara over here, and basically our Gemara ends off with a shoulder shrug, right? The Gemara in Sanhedrin simply ends with the words kasha. Yeah, that's difficult. Meaning, I know it's a hekesh, but there still is a difference. In fact, this morning, I got an opportunity to open up the Rambam, go through the Rambam inside, and the Rambam writes it really clearly, that when it comes to Shesui Yain, a Kohen who does the Avoda while under the influence, while inebriated, so that's Mechal the Avoda. But when doing the Avoda while having long hair, even though it's prohibited, even though the punishment is Misa B'dei Shamayim, but nevertheless, it's not going to be Mechal the Avoda. Why not? Okay, that's a good question. And okay, right. I understand you can give answers, but there is a hekesh. And so what do you do with that hekesh? Okay, so good. So the Gemara ends off with saying where Rav Ashi's point is correct, even though it's a little bit hard to explain why it's correct. But nevertheless, it's correct. Okay, and then jump right past the parentheses. Amalei Ravina le Rav Ashi. So, I'm sorry, even before we start with this. So basically now what we've presented are two answers, meaning the question is, why are Kohanim nowadays not careful about their hair? Meaning they let their hair grow. Now, in terms of why they're not careful about their wine intake, so good. Machlok is between the Chachamim and Rebbe does allow it because, right, we haven't had a Beis HaMikdash in a long time. And so therefore, Rebbe allows for Kohanim to drink, but the Chachamim don't. But when it comes to hair, so the Kohanim are not careful at all about their hair, even according to the Chachamim. What's the difference between wine and hair? So the Gemara gave us two answers to that question. The one answer is that hair is a really quick fix. You just go get a haircut. When it comes to wine and mitigating the effects of the wine, it's not a quick fix. That's one answer. And the second answer is that doing the avoda while under the influence of wine is mechala the avoda, not so with long hair. Okay, so there are two answers to that question. Okay, these halachas that we learned regarding hair and a kohen, so it's all based on psukim and Yecheskel. Now the Gemara is asking, Amalei Ravina le Rav Ashi, Hamekam da'asei Yecheskel man amra. Okay, Yecheskel is a Navi, coming well after Matan Torah. How did we know these halachas before Yecheskel came about? Amalei v'letamech, Adam Rav Chista, Dav Zeh, Mitoros Moshe l'lamanu, Midivir Kabbalah l'lamanu, Kol Benecha Arel Lei V'Arel Basar Lo Yavo El Mikdashi. So meanwhile, there's another pasuk in Yecheskel, that if you have an Arel Basar, right, someone who did not get a bris mila, so so he cannot, such a Kohen cannot do the avoda. And Rashi writes, and again, Rashi is so super consistent about this. As throughout Shas, whenever this halacha comes up, so Rashi says that we're talking about even somebody who didn't get a bris mila, legitimately, meaning his brothers died, right? They have, for example, they have hemophilia in the family, and the brothers died as a result of the bris mila. So he legitimately did not receive a bris mila. Still, he cannot do the avoda. How do I know that? It's a pasuk in Yecheskel, meaning the Torah doesn't mention it. So hamikamidasi Yecheskel man amra elagamar gemira lavasi Yecheskel vasmechu akra. Fine. So it's a tradition, meaning what you and I would call halach lemoshe mesinai, and then it's recorded in Sefer Yecheskel. But it was already part and parcel of Torah Shabbat Peh. It just happened to have not been a pasuk in Chumash. So achinami gemar gemira lavasi Yecheskel vasmechu akra. Same thing over here. right? All the halachas regarding a kohen with long hair, and that he should not be doing the avodah, and if he does do the avodah while having long hair, he's subject to misa b'dei shamayim, all that. So it's halach l'moshe misinai, but it's actually recorded in Sefer Yecheskel. Okay, good. Ben's question. Ben asked earlier, so we talked about what happens if the Beis HaMikdash is built readily, speedily, and so if the Kohen has long hair, no problem, just get a haircut. If the Kohen's got, if the Kohen is inebriated, so there, that becomes more problematic, because what are you going to do? You can't just simply walk it off. Good. That's what the Gemara said earlier. What about the fact that every single Kohen Bezman Hazeh is Tamei Meis? And so we're talking about quick fixes. There is no quick fix for Tumas Meis. And it takes at least a week in order to resolve the Tumas Meis. Okay, so Tosfos acknowledges that that's a problem. Tosfos writes over here, Be'inan Kohanim Ruim Levod Valeika V'im Tomar. It's the second Tosfos on the Avod. Va'alo B'lo Yain Nami Asurim Ba'avoda. The Tumei Meisim Ninu V'tzrichim Azal Gimel V'Zayin. Va'amai Asur Lehu Yain. In other words, you're going to need a week off anyway to resolve the Tumas Meis. You can sober up in a week. So Tosfos writes, V'yishlam D'mikom HaKom Mutarim Ba'avoda Sibor D'tumah Hushar B'Sibor. So Tosfos writes over here, well, if it were just for the issue of Tumas Meis, we would have them doing the Avodah right away. Why? Because we know Tumah Hushar B'Sibor, in Psachim, we spent a good amount of time discussing this topic, and that is the idea that when you have the majority, either of the Jewish people, or even just the majority of the Kohanim, that are Tamei Meis, so they are allowed to do, Avodah Sibor. All the communal karbanos can be done by the Kohanim, and so therefore, for the Tumas Meis, so they would be on the clock. They would be working right away. Okay. Adkan, that takes us now to the end of a pretty long sugya in the Gemara over here in terms of haircuts and Kohanim, right? That's basically been most of today's daf. We talked about the schedule in terms of how often they should be getting a haircut while the Beis HaMikdash is around. Kohen Gadol once a week, Kohen Hajot at least once a month. And how do I know the halacha regarding the Kohen Hajot? We learned it from Nazir. The Nazir is supposed to allow his hair to grow long based on a pasuk in Yecheskel. Kohanim, just the opposite. They're not allowed to allow their hair to go long. Long for a Nazir is 30 days. So that means the Kohen should be getting a haircut once every 30 days. And then what the Gemara now has been discussing for the last 20 minutes, for the last almost second half of today's daf, is now Bizman Hazeh. So Kohanim are careful. Kohanim are getting a haircut every 30 days. If Shema Yibana Beis HaMikdash, and they're going to be asked to do the Avodah. And so why aren't Kohanim careful about the haircut? Now, as far as wine is concerned and wine intake, again, machlokus between the Chachamim and Rebbe in terms of whether or not they need to be careful. The Chachamim say they do. Rebbe says they don't. But in terms of hair, no one is out there saying that they should be careful about that. So the Gemara basically gave two approaches to why. One is that if the Beis HaMikdash is built, so the 5 minutes will get a haircut, problem solved, problem resolved. And number two is that if you are at a Kohen doing the Avodah with long hair, even though it's wrong, you're not Mechal the Avodah. Masha'in came while doing the Avodah, while under the influence, you are in fact Mechal the Avodah. So those are two answers in terms of why we're not concerned about hair, and that's called a mid-daf. It's not even the middle of the daf, but that's a mid-daf review. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. I'm sorry, first let me read the heading. Kol HaKasov B'Megillah Tanis Lo L'Mitzvah L'Fanav Aser La'achrav Mutar. Okay, those days that are recorded in Megillas Tanis. So here we go with a discussion regarding Megillas Tanis. You know what? Yeah, let's start it tomorrow. Right? It's a brand new sugya. It goes well into tomorrow's daf. Okay, so let's start the Megillas Tanis sugya tomorrow. Let's conclude. Okay, we just reviewed most of today's daf. The beginning of the daf, if I may just quickly review. At the beginning, we went over the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim of our Mishnah in terms of what should be brachas numbers 1 and 2 on a Tanit Sibor in round number 3, where we're adding 6 brachas. So what are going to be the themes of the first 2 of those 6 brachas? So according to the Chachamim, it's Zichronos and Shofros, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not. Go back to the Mishnah to discuss what it is, but it's not Zichronos and Shofros. And the Gemara says, yeah, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, Zichronos and Shofros are specific to Rosh Hashanah and Yovel and Mechama. Okay, and that's a little bit unclear in terms of where that came from. But anyway, that's it. But they're not specific for Tanit Sibor. Okay, and obviously the Chachamim disagree on that point. The Gemara in the beginning of today's daf goes over some technical details regarding Tzaaka and in tefillah, whether tzedakas for Eliyahu, tefillas for Shmuel, or the reverse. Okay, the chronology, right? The brachos that we add on the Tanit Sibor are almost in perfect chronological order until you get to the end, meaning after Eliyahu and after Yonah. So then the sixth additional bracha is Davin Shlomo. That's chronologically out of order. So the Gemara asks that question. The Gemara gives an answer. It has to do with the Chasima, even though it is chronologically out of order, but it fits thematically with the signature of the bracha. And so, okay, that's the give and take over there. And then members of the Anshei Mishmar. So members of the Anshei Mishmar cannot be drinking that week they're in the Beis Hamikdash, but at night they're allowed to drink. Meaning, if you're not part of the Beis Av that's working that day, so you could drink at night. The way Rashi understood, as we went over this morning, is that we're talking about the following night, right after the day. So they're allowed to drink because there's not a lot of avod to be done. That's Rashi's explanation. And then the Beis Av cannot be drinking the day and also the night following. Why? Because the night following, they still have work to do. They still have to be makter the chalavim in Nimurim on the Mizbeach. Okay, so since there's still work for them to do, so therefore they cannot be drinking neither during the day nor at night. Bizman hazeh, if you know your Mishmar and you know your Beis Av, so that's going to restrict you meaning a Kohen, it's going to restrict you from drinking during that Mishmar and during that Beis Av, but the rest of the year you're allowed to drink. And if you don't know your Mishmar and you don't know your Beis Av, you can't drink the whole year round for concern that the Beis HaMikdash will be built. Rebbe made 2 points. Number one, and this is Rashi's explanation of Rebbe. Rebbe made 2 points. One is that even if you know your Mishmar and even if you know your Beis Av, you cannot drink year round. Why? Because when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, they may reshuffle the deck. And so you may be put on call immediately. Okay, so that's number one. And point number two, Rebbe, is that Bizman is just simply not a concern, right? We're not worried that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. And just to make sure that we say this in the right context, obviously, it's one of the Yud Gimel Ikari Emuna, and we're hoping and praying every single day that Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. But for that concern to govern the behavior of the Kohanim, Rebbe says that's not necessary, right? That's the, okay, finally, I think, for the first time today, I think I said it well. So that's the sheet of Rebbe as it relates to Kohanim. Abaye says that that's in fact what the Kohanim rely on. They do rely on that sheet of Rebbe Bizman Hazeh. And then the rest of the daf today talked about why aren't the Kohanim, even according to the Chachamim, why aren't the Kohanim worried about letting their hair go when meanwhile they're not allowed to do the avoda with long hair? So the Gemara gave two answers to that question. We already reviewed that. Okay, Adkan.
Good.